Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Well, how many got a bulletin? Anybody have a bulletin? If you don't, get one, because the message is really on the back of the bulletin. And if you want to talk about the vision of new creation, since we're entering a new phase, it's always good to revisit what God had put upon our hearts to begin with. Amen. So that we can all get on the same page. I think it's Habakkuk. Let me see if I can grab it real quick. Yes, it says, Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, everybody say tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, of course, we know the word tarry means what? Wait. It means wait. It's an old word. Some of those churches try to use it, but normally we don't walk around and say, well, let me just tarry for a little while. But it means to wait. And God was telling Habakkuk, write the vision so that even if it does take a while to fulfill the vision, it will be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. So let's pray and then we will get into the message. Father, we thank you, first of all, because you are faithful. Your word is true, and because of it, we can have confidence in what you have told us. And Lord, we thank you that you give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying, because it's more than just words, but we want to hear what your spirit is saying. So I pray that you would speak through me, teach through me. Your word declares that you are the one that brings and teaches and leads us into all truth, and I just ask that you would use me in that part of your ministry. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for these people in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So the first thing I want to look at is the name New Creation Christian Center. And I was, as we were preparing to open the ministry, we were trying to come up with a name. And you know, a lot of times you say, well, we need a catchy name. We need a catchy phrase. But as I was sitting at that time I was a member of Emerald City Bible Fellowship, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I probably heard it through the message, but can't remember really what the message was. But he spoke to me about being a new creation. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17 came, which says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, that's the new version. The old King James says he's a new creature, right? Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this was the scripture that God put on my heart. And the second part of that, which says the path to genuine life, had to do with what my son had begun in his work, or his business is that he's a music producer, but his production company is called Genuine Life. And see, we are on a path not to pretend life, but to genuine life. Amen? You can't get life unless you get it through Christ. Amen? So we have new creation, the path to genuine life, and then we have another phrase on there that says where you can come as you are, but you just can't stay that way. Everybody say, you can come as you are. You just can't stay that way. Now, what does that mean? That means everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter if you have a suit or a dress or a tie or a tuxedo or just jeans or whatever. Everybody is welcome. But the desire of the Holy Spirit is to transform us so that when we come in as we are, we don't stay that way. Amen? God changes us, as the scripture says, line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. He will walk us through the process of genuine life. Amen? As we accept the new creation in Christ lifestyle. Now, of course, the term new creation and being born again, are synonymous terms. A lot of times you see some apostles use the word or the phrase born again, right? Peter uses the term born again. Jesus says you must be born again. But Paul uses the term new creation more than he uses the term being born again. But how many know that those are the same phrase or they're synonymous? They're not obviously not the same, but they're synonymous to each other. Amen? Because a new creation is somebody that has been born again. Amen? Because you can't be new without being reborn. Amen? So God uses language, and sometimes we, you know, folks want to fight over terms. Oh, you got to be born again. Well, I want to be a new creation. Well, you got to be born again of the Spirit. And if look, let's not fight over the terms. Let's just get the life. Amen. Let's not trip over the little things, but let's receive what God has for us on a larger scale. So anyway, so let's look at what the word vision means. Vision, of course, means a number of things, and you know how dictionaries are. They always give you multiple meanings of a word. But the word vision is the ability to see. And that's just your natural vision. And how many know we need that? Amen? Goodness gracious. Sometimes I wear contacts, and my contacts don't want to focus right. And it's like, you got to get it right. But we all need vision so that we can see in the natural. Then it says that's also something that you imagine or picture, or a picture that you see in your mind. Now, that's also what we commonly refer to as what? Daydreaming. And think about it. Now, we don't want to ever be just daydreamers, because daydreamers have to also be doers. Amen. But how many of us have sat down one time at a time or two and just thought about a scenario that we were going to be become involved with, and we literally work it out in our minds before we ever do it? Amen. Now, sometimes that's God, but sometimes that's not God. Okay, so you have to make that distinction, because a lot of people get daydreams, think it's from God when it's not really from God. So you have to learn to be able to discern between the two. Amen? Amen. And then the third part of this, or the fourth part of this definition, is something that you see or dream, especially as part of a religious or supernatural experience. And that's where we want to land, is we want to get the vision that God has for what he has called us to do. Amen? But I went a step further, and I defined what I call the definition of a biblical vision. Everybody say a biblical vision. Biblical. And a biblical vision is the assignment one receives from God that works alongside his will, which is also the Great Commission. See, every vision that a church gets, every vision that a leader gets, every vision that a member of the body of Christ gets has to line up first with the will of God, but more specifically with the purpose of the Great Commission. Amen? Now, what's the Great Commission? Come on, y'all should be, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel, make disciples of every person of every nation. And then it goes on, and these signs shall follow them that believe in Mark in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if there's any deadly, if they eat or drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So all of our visions have to coincide with the plan that God has for his church. Amen. It's so important because some people are getting visions that don't coincide with what God wants, but they coincide with what they want. And therefore, we're back to the daydreams again. Amen. A lot of times the visions we get are not fulfilled because there are visions and not God's vision. Well, I'll give you an example in my own life. As early as maybe 7 or 6 or 8, I wanted to play professional football. And I literally had daydreamed about the time when I would play professional football. I even went as far as making my own football card. Remember the old football cards? I made my own football card. And this is when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I had 6'3", 225 pounds. I had it all down. I had all this and told what I did in high school, what I had done. I mean, this is a daydream. And so I played football in high school, did pretty well in high school, got hurt my senior year. And you know how that could be. So the schools that were interested all of a sudden weren't interested anymore. But I did get a scholarship, but because I was probably too full of myself, I thought I could walk on anywhere in the country and play. So that's what I tried to do. I went to Florida A&M and walked on the team. We made the tryout, and I say my best friend and I went down there. And then we played for a couple of weeks, but they had already made their choice on who they were going to play, and so we're not in the plan. Amen. So we said, well, we're going to come back in the spring and then when the tryouts are really open. Well, after being in Florida for a while and going through Thanksgiving without a turkey, we realized we wanted to go back home. So when it came time for the end of the quarter, we came back to Seattle and we did not go back to Florida A&M. And so I transferred to the University of Washington and did the same thing. We had a tryout. Made the team, and then played in the spring game and all that kind of stuff. So the vision was coming to pass. But in the meantime, I had accepted Christ, and so God had given me a bigger vision. Now, he didn't take away for me the vision that I had, but how many know that your vision and his now have to merge, or one of them is going to lose out? And the one that has to lose out is yours, because as Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. But to make a long story short, I obviously did not make it to the NFL. But in my own daydream, I had made it. And a lot of people, because their dreams don't come to pass, they lose hope in life and forget that God had a bigger picture, but they're so stuck on their dream that they can't get out of the dream that they created for themselves. Are you with me here? See, if I had been so married to what I believed I was going to happen when it didn't happen, I could have been bitter about it. I could have said, God, how come all these years I put into playing football that you didn't allow me to make it to the NFL? How come so-and-so made it and I didn't make it? How come I couldn't get a scholarship? And there's people, and I'm 51 years old now, there's people who now, I'm even if I had made it, I'd been finished, right? And some folks who didn't make it are in their 50s still asking God, how come I couldn't play football? But guess what? You're too old to play football now. So it's time to move. It's time to turn that page and move on. But a lot of people get stuck in their own daydream and fail to embrace the vision that God has for them. And therefore, they're now disabled, if you will, because of their own dream not coming to pass. And you guys know about this. Hope without a person without hope is disabled. Because they're not, they don't want to push forward anymore. There's people, like I said, I mean, there's a guy that was a superstar when we were in Little League. I still see him today. And you know what? And now the Little League, now I'm talking about when we were 8 and 13 years old. Now he went on to play a little bit of college ball, but he remembers the Little League days like they were yesterday. And now I was a star in Little League, but my goodness, man, I got to graduate from Little League. I mean, I was 10 years old. I scored touchdowns. I threw touchdowns. I picked up fumbles and made touchdowns. I was a punter. I did everything. But I'm not still thinking, man, boy, I was all that when I was, I mean, 10? That's 40 years ago. But a lot of people still live in the daydream. Because they can't get the vision that God has for them. And let me say this too, and this is so important. Everybody has a vision from God. You know, sometimes there's people that say in the church, well, there's only one vision here, and any other visions is die vision. How many have heard that message preached? That's not true. Because one vision is God's vision. Okay, so first of all, God has the one vision. And then if I get a vision, that's two visions. But it's not division as long as it's lined up with his vision. And when you get a vision, when you come to new creation and you have a vision to do something for the gospel, for the kingdom, that vision lines up with God's vision, the vision of the house, and everybody can work within their vision. That's what keeps the church vital and active. What happens is people get in the church many times and they have a vision. They want to do something, but they are kept from doing what God has called them to do because, I don't know, that's not my vision. Well, sometimes if you want people to be included, you have to open up your vision so that they can be included. See, what we call vision is, that's not what I'm good at, so I'm going to only do what I'm good at. And if you can't get with what I'm good at, then you don't need to be here. But that's not the way the church works. The church works, as the Bible says, we are a body with many members. That means everybody plays on this team. Unfortunately, the church is full of bench warmers that don't play in the game, don't even practice. You know, that was the one thing I had about football. I hated to practice. I hated to work out. I hated to run, but I loved the game. So you endure the practice, you endure the weightlifting, you endure the running a mile or two because you know you get to play in the game. But in the church, folks don't practice. Practice means praying, studying the word of God, being prepared to share the gospel with your friends and family, praying for those that ask for prayer. We don't practice what we believe because we don't ever think we're ever going to get in the game. But let me tell you something. That is the game. Everybody say, that is the game. The game is to share the gospel with your friends and families. Look, you don't get to preach. Everybody's not going to preach across the pulpit, but you can preach to your family members and friends. You can tell your friends. I mean, matter of fact, most of your converts will be in your own circle. I mean, I remember when I first got saved, the first person I told was my best friend. I said, man, I accepted Christ, and I didn't half know what I was talking about. But he said this to me, and I'll never forget it. This is the kind of relationship he said, look, Harold, if it's good enough for you, then I want it too. I was floored that he responded like that, because, you know, you expect people to say, what you talking about, all that church stuff. But when he said that, I was like, man, that spoke about our relationship. And we've known each other since we were 7 years old. So vision has to come under the guise of God's will and his purpose. Otherwise, we've missed the vision and we're just daydreaming. Amen. All right, so let's get to the purpose of our church here. And the purpose of our church, and this is on the back of the bulletin, is to teach people how to grow in the new life given to them or given to us by Jesus Christ and to put off the old man. Now, see, that's kind of language that you don't even hear anymore. Put off the old man. Well, what is the old man? You know, the old King James says the carnal nature, carnal, being carnal. And, you know, if you've been in church for a long time, yeah, those are just carnal people. The old man is when you were not born again and that nature that we had before we came to the knowledge that Jesus saved us. So that's the old man. So the part that we have to put off are those mechanisms that we formed while unsaved. Are you with me here? In other words, we created a system, a philosophy, a mechanism, a coping system, a methodology, if you will, to do the things that we're going to do in our life before we got saved. So once Christ saves us, he changes this old mechanism, as the Bible calls it, the old nature or the old man, and he undoes what we did so that we can think like him, talk like him, act like him, walk like him, be like him. And that's the purpose of New Creation Christian Center, is we want people to walk and talk and act and be like Jesus. Amen? So that means that it's going to be uncomfortable to live in the old nature. Now, we're not going to talk about dress code. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He will fix your dress code. We're not going to talk about wearing pants and not wearing pants. Those things are unimportant. But what we will talk about is dying to self, surrendering your will to his will. That's what happens, because when you surrender, all those issues don't even become issues. It's not, you're not talking about you say, Lord, I surrender to your will. And we want to teach people how to hear the voice of the Spirit so that God can teach you. And you don't always have to be told by everybody outside of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me qualify that, because that's dangerous language when you say it in those terms. Because when I say qualified, that means that you have to learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, so you're not listening to the daydream that you get, you know, from time to time. Because we still get daydreams even as believers, amen? We get, we think we hear from God, but you have to be sensitive enough, and then you have to be submitted enough to go to somebody who is more seasoned in the word than you are and ask them, hey, I believe God was speaking to me about this. Can you share with me what you think about it? That means you have to be transparent. Amen? See, the body, we can't be always trying to hide, acting like we know something when we know we don't know it. Because that's being hypocritical. Amen? And we don't want to be hypocritical. So the second thing we want to do here is we want to see the church grow in the fullness of the new creation. We believe in people growing up. Yes. Amen? Yeah, we forgot. Y'all got to start turning your phones to mute. So remember that when you come in. All of us, because I just did it on the platform. So I'm not pointing at anybody else. I'm pointing at me. Because normally on Sundays, I don't even turn my phone on, because it's my business line. And folks think I work on Sunday. They think I work on Sunday night. They think I work on Saturday morning. They think I work on Saturday night. They think I work all the time. So I just turn the phone off. And so they call you and you just happen to have the phone on. It's like, oh, no. And then you answer it, and they say, oh, yeah, I got this problem. Well, is it something that we can address today? No. Then call me Monday. Call me Monday. But no, if we can't do anything today, you don't need to talk to me about it today. Call me Monday. All right? We gotta, and this is another area, we gotta stop being slaves to gadgets. I mean, we all got phones, and I got phones, I got an iPad, I got all those things, but we have to learn to put stuff away to get away, because none of us are, you know, most of us are, as far as I know, nobody's a doctor. I'm a lawyer, but I don't want nobody from the jail calling me. So I don't need to be in contact. You know, back in the old days, only the doctors and the lawyers had the pages until the guys on the street picked them up, you know. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? So just let's remember that. And let's be a place where we're not slaves to anything. We're not slaves to anything. Not slaves to toys. Not slaves to games. You know, some folks play games so much they can't even work. I never knew this term, but recently I learned that somebody called, oh, he's a gamer. I had no idea what they were talking about. He's a gamer? What does that mean? He said, oh, he plays video games. He's 35 years old. What's he still playing? And look, I don't have a problem with you playing video games at their proper time. But don't spend your whole day playing video games. Come on. Amen? I don't want to get on that. But I'm talking about growing up. Amen? But we believe in teaching people how to grow up. And we're going to do a message on the fivefold ministry and the purpose of the fivefold ministry. But that will come. Amen? The way we're going to accomplish this is that we're going to teach, we're going to preach, and we're going to bring healing to the people, as it says in Matthew 4:23. So let's go to Matthew, since I haven't really read a passage other than Habakkuk. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 23. And this is right after Jesus was tempted by Satan. Amen? You guys know the story about Jesus. He fasts 40 days, and then he's driven or led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen? Just the fact that he went on a 40-day and 40-night fast was a temptation. Amen? Amen? Oh, you guys, we can do some 40-day fast now, because, you know, back in the day, I've done a 40-day fast. I've done a 21-day fast. I've done some other fast in between those times. It's been a long time, and I don't want to do it. But if we have to, we could do it. Amen? And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching, everybody say teaching, in their synagogues, preaching, everybody say preaching, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness. Everybody say healing. So Jesus' ministry was about teaching, about preaching, and about healing. Now the question is, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? You know, there's a lot of debate about that. Well, teaching, I always look at teaching is to bring enlightenment to those that you're talking to. So a teacher brings more understanding on a subject that they are supposed to be teaching. That's the purpose of a teacher, to open up, if you will, or uncover hidden truths that are in the scriptures in our case, or if you're in a school, a teacher is somebody that helps you to understand subject matter better than you understood it before you came in. A good teacher. Amen? Now, we all have had bad teachers, some that weren't teachers. They just read from their lecture notes, and as soon as the class was over, they walked out. How many had teachers like that in college? They just, in a monotone voice, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. And, time to go. I'll see you next week. I mean, some teachers are like that. But a true teacher is going to uncover some of the truth, not because he or she has this special thing, but because the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. Amen? And so usually you, and when it comes to church, you're called to teach. Amen? Come on, talk to me. There's a teacher, there's a pastor, there's an evangelist, there's an apostle, and there's a prophet. Those are the fivefold ministry that we know about in the church. Amen? So we're here to teach, we're here to preach, and preaching is the proclaiming of the gospel to those that don't know it. See, preaching is what you do out on the street. You can't take time to break down the Greek and the Hebrew to the person that you catch on the corner. Because by the time you say, well, the Greek word for church is koinonia, once you get that, the bus is coming and they've gone. You missed that opportunity. So you have to proclaim the gospel in a short soundbite so that you can reach people. Amen? So the preaching means to proclaim the truth, not necessarily. Now, obviously, you're still going to always uncover things that are covered, but that's not the main point of what you're doing when it comes to preaching. Are you with me here? And then the last thing, of course, is to bring healing. Now, how many know that none of us have the capacity to heal? Amen? But the Spirit that now dwells in us has given us the ability, the power to lay hands on the sick, to pray for people, to see miracles happen in the lives of those that we minister to. And the church has gotten away from this concept. There's some segments of the church that don't even believe in healing anymore. They say, well, you know, we have doctors for that. Well, thank God for doctors, but how many know that the doctors will tell you in a minute, there's nothing else we can do for you. After your insurance has been expired and they've used up all the deductibles and everything, I'm sorry, there's nothing. Only treatment we can give you now is to just kind of relieve your pain. And then what? There's nothing else left? No, God is still available. The scripture says in one situation, there was a lady that had gone to the doctor for 18 years and had not gotten better, but had gotten worse. But then Jesus stepped on the scene, and not only did she get better, she was made completely whole. Amen? So we want to bring the hope back into the church that God is still a God of healing, that God is still a God of miracles, that and it's not me and it's not you, but it's him through us. Amen? Amen? So we now have, the scripture says, as I quoted from in the Great Commission, we will lay hands on the sick and they will do what? Everybody say recover. That means that when I pray for people, I have to know, not believe, I have to know. Everybody say no. What's the difference between belief and know? Belief, you're not sure. Know, you're sure. We have to know that when we believe what God says we can believe and do what God says we can do, then God will do what he says he will do. Amen? And that's where we want to get to. People have to grow up to get to that place. See, you have to get to an understanding that God wants to use you. Everybody say, God. Everybody say, God wants to use me. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care if you're a male or a female. God wants to use us. And he doesn't want us to put restrictions on his ability to use us. Now we know Moses, and I'm getting excited here. We know that Moses was supposed to, and get this. I was reading this and I got this, and I never had gotten this before. Moses knew that he was a deliverer before he became a deliverer. Did everybody know that? Because he went down to see the children of Israel. And he's beating up people to get them out, get them loose. And then he says, and because he beat up the Egyptian, he was hoping that his brothers would see he was there to deliver them. But guess what? They didn't see it. So he said, and are you going to kill me like you killed that guy? And then Moses, oh, the jig is up. I got to hit the road. So Moses, after he knew that God had called him to do what God would call him to do eventually, he tried to do it in his own strength. It didn't work. So 40 years later, he thought God wasn't ever going to use him in this way again. Are you with me here? So, but God calls him 40 years later when he's now not able to beat up anybody. At 80 years old, although they did say Moses was strong and was lived a good long life after that, God said, now I send you to go deliver my people. And guess what Moses says to God? Go get somebody else. I'm not able to do what you're telling me to do. I can't speak well. What if they don't believe me? How come you're sending me? Somebody else can do it. And how many of us have made these same excuses? We come, God says, Harold, I want you to do it. And when I was called to the ministry, I did not want to hear that. And I refused to hear it for a number of years. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want, I'm going to law school and I'm going to make money. I don't want to be a preacher. Because I associated with a preacher with being poor. And I said, Lord, I'm going to buy a BMW and I don't want to hear nobody talk about, oh, that preacher got a BMW. Yeah, I got it because I bought it myself. But God didn't listen to any of that. He just kept pressing me. I've called you. I've called you. And I can't remember. I think Annis and I had an argument, which is usually where you get broken down, right? So I'm driving home from school, and I said, Lord, I don't know what it is that you want me to do, but I'll do it. And but then he revealed to me that I could be a teacher. Well, I said, I could get with that one. That doesn't mean I had to be a pastor. I can teach. So, but look where I am now. The more I surrendered, the more he took me into his hand and says, okay, now if you will surrender this to me, I'll let you do this also. If you surrender this to me, I'll let you. So see, God unfolds his way to us. But going back to Moses, Moses reluctantly went to do what God told him to do. But now Moses is considered one of the greatest prophets that ever lived on the face of the earth. Islam, Christian, all recognize Moses as a great prophet. So we see that we cannot limit God based on what we think we're capable of. Because in and of ourselves, we are not able to preach. We're not able to teach, and we're surely not able to heal anybody. Amen? I mean, I remember when I wasn't saved, I tried to read the Bible. I couldn't understand. I said, first of all, what in the world are all these genealogies in this book for? I mean, these folks are all dead, man. I couldn't trace them if I wanted to trace them. So I was like, this is the book that's supposed to change my life? Nah, not today, not now, you know. So I didn't get it. But then as I walked in him, I started to understand why he put the genealogies in there. I understand. Now, people on outside the church, they're still trying to figure out what the genealogies are for. They're still trying to debate whether Noah really did build an ark and whether it did rain for 40 days and 40 nights or whatever it rained. You know, they did a movie about it. How many wasted their time watching the movie? When I say wasting my time, it's because it was not had nothing to do with the Bible. None of Noah's sons were married in that movie. And we all know that Noah, the Bible said, eight people got on the boat. They never tell them what the wives' names were, but they all had wives, including Noah. And Noah also in the movie disobeyed God and becomes a hermit after the fact. I don't see that in the scripture. So when we leave it up to ourselves, we can't do what God has called us to do. But as we surrender to God, we will be able to do what he's called us to do. And that is to preach, to teach, and to heal. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to stop because, we started late, so I don't want to drag it on. So we'll pick up here next week. Is that all right? Now, on Wednesday, we're going to do a Bible study on the book of Genesis. All right? We're going to start from the beginning. So how many of you guys have a Bible? Amen. Everybody should raise their hand. And if you don't go, you can get a Bible from the Dollar Tree for what? A dollar. That's a great thing. I love the Dollar Tree. My wife will tell you, I go down there, I get snacks, and come back with all, and the kids love it too because they say, oh, Papa's got all the good candy. Anyway, so... But anyway, so if you don't have a Bible, you can get one from the Dollar Tree. And it's a King James Version, too, so most folks like the King James Version. But anyway, so we're gonna go through at least the first two chapters, try to maybe do the first three. So anyway, so let's stand. And if you have any prayer requests, we want to pray for you. If you need God to do something, if you're facing a situation this week, we thank God for Pastor Woodley's testimony that God brought breakthrough in his situation, but God will bring breakthrough in your situation if you allow him to. Amen. So if you want prayer, you can come and we can pray for you as we close, but otherwise we're going to dismiss. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together, and we thank you for being in this place. Lord, we thank you because you're God and that you're God alone, and we appreciate the fact that you let us join with you to do your work. We are not able, we're not capable, but because of your son Jesus, you have made us able and you have made us capable because of your anointing. Thank you for this time. Thank you for those that are here. We ask that you would bless us all in the name of Jesus, Lord. Go with us. Lead us by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Give us divine appointments with those that you want us to encounter and open doors that are closed but need to be open on our behalf in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Amen.
We appreciate you listening to today's message. If you would like to hear this message and others in its entirety, visit our website, newcreationwa.org. We have services on Saturday nights, and we would love for you to come out and join us at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building located at 7728 Rainer Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. For questions or comments, call us at 425-686-8197. You can be made new in Christ. God bless.